I'm going to approach this like a business. So I started listening to these podcasts that I could start comparing those, the experience of these people to the experiences that I had. There are other niches in real estate that align themselves better with my long-term goals. You know, the hustle, the freedom mentality. I was sort of hearing those words through the story of many of these real estate professionals.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. As always, I'm bringing you awesome guests who are doing all kinds of crazy things. Today is no different. I've got Craig, and I've already forgot your last name. You said it rhymes with Jello Napiello?
Napoliello.
Napoliello. See, man, that quick, it's just gone. Napoliello. Uh-huh. So I've got Craig Napoliello here on the podcast today to talk about his side hustle in the real estate space. So I think, actually, no, you're not the first. I had another gentleman on the podcast in the real estate space, but there can't be more than three. So there hasn't been a lot of interviews in the real estate space. Mm-hmm. And this one's, you know, extra interesting because you're appear to be having a little bit of success with it. And it's still a side hustle for you. So I'm ready to dive into all of that. But let's start this thing off. Just kind of give us a little rundown on like who Craig is and kind of how you got this far.
Yeah. Well, it's great to be here. So thank you so much for having me. I would say that sort of, you know, the theme of your show and your messaging, you know, sort of around hustling, which we'll get into my side hustle. But even, you know, how I sort of got to where I am, I graduated college in 02 in sort of a tough market. I wanted to get into finance. So I moved up to New York City with, you know, no money, no friends, basically. And, you know, really had sort of no prospects. And I got myself a job up here as a waiter in the local mall and lived with my one of my best friend's parents. And I knew I wanted to become a trader and get into finance. And, you know, I really didn't have much hope into doing that. And I would say that the sort of the driving force into making that a reality for me was really just hustling and following through. My resume was, especially relative to my peers, my resume was subpar. I didn't have, you know, sort of connections. So the nepotism, you know, route, which I, you know, it's a great foot in the door for many. I didn't have that. So I really just, when I say this, I really sort of out hustled, I would say, you know, a lot of my peers to get my foot in the door. And then from there to sort of advance beyond that. And it was really, a lot of it was, when I look back, it was really nothing more than hustling and following through and knowing the right balance between, you know, when you're hustling and being persistent, you know, you can do it sort of respectfully and gracefully, or you can, you know, do it to the point where you rub people the wrong way. I think it's a very sort of delicate balance. So just knowing how to, you know, hustle and be persistent and perseverant, you know, in a respectful, gracious way. That's literally sort of what, you know, got me up to New York and got me a job in New York. So I've been here ever since and, you know, absolutely love it. Now I'm, you know, married, with two dogs and live in Brooklyn, New York, and, you know, absolutely love the whole, New York lifestyle, still as challenging as that can be sometimes. You know, I'm very, very excited in my W-2 job. You know, really, really, I'm basically in financial technology now. And
what does that mean, financial technology?
So I work for a firm that builds technology, builds software for the financial and markets, right? So for the financial markets, right? So we basically build like trading technologies and trading software.
Gotcha.
So, and I basically do like some basic business development and sort of customer facing role in that company. So which I love and I'm very excited about. It's, you know, one of these things that I'm excited when my alarm goes off on Monday mornings to go to work. You know, that being said, is it, you know, that could hopefully that lasts forever. But you know, it could last for a year, it could last for, you know, 20 years, but I wanted to make sure I was devoting the time to, you know, to a side hustle so that, you know, if I'm doing something on the side that I'm passionate about, that I can help me build a cash flow stream, that, you know, if I'm ever not excited when my alarm goes off, that I will have the flexibility and other options, right, to pursue.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way when I got into this whole thing. Like, people have heard me say many times on the podcast, kind of my moment came when I was in Africa traveling by myself. And like, I had this moment where I was like, you know, I was meeting all these people traveling long-term. And I was like, I don't know if this is what I want to do long-term, but I want to be able to make the decision that if like the day comes where this is what I want to do, I want to be able to do that. And it sounds similar to what you're saying. Like, if that day comes when you're not stoked about that alarm clock going off, then maybe it's time to pivot and move in. But for now, you're pretty stoked. And I think it's a good point because, you know, a lot of people listening to the podcast, they expect people to always be like, you know, very pro, like quit your job and like be an entrepreneur. But I think, you know, that's not for everyone. And I think this is a good conversation to have and a good approach to things that, like, if you're still enjoying it, like, why not keep doing it?
Yeah. And again, it's like you said, there's actually a lot of, it's interesting. There's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of, I feel like, material out there now, you're saying, is basically, it's almost like demonizing jobs. Now, you know, like, it's like anything, right? Jobs can be, having a W-2 job can be like a, you know, something that's sort of holding you back from achieving what you want, but it can also, you know, be, it can help propel you to, you know, I mean, I still feel like when I'm going to work, you know, I'm learning new things and I'm growing and I'm improving. And it's also on top of that, affording me the opportunity to pursue my side hustle, you know, in a more aggressive manner, to be honest. So, you know, for me, it's helping me sort of pour gasoline on my side hustle as well. Right. So, and just my overall development, which is helping me in other aspects of my life, including my side hustle.
Yep, 100%. I was the same way. Like, having the funds coming in from my day job allowed me to do all these other things that I wanted to do to set myself up to have success in the business, which eventually I pivoted into full time. But, you know, when I was working that day job, you know, that was, and I always tell people this, like, if that's what's like putting food on the table, like, there needs to be some focus there as well. Like, you can't like have your head in the sky and be dreaming about like these entrepreneurial dreams when like your business isn't making any money. You still need to be focusing on your day job and trying to get all the revenue out of that you can, because that's supporting your life and keeping food on the table.
Totally. And I think it also, like you're saying, like, you know, to go to your job and be like, you know, daydream about something else. I mean, also, I think it's also a good practice, which I've done, you know, points of my career that I've not done this well, but like, you know, basically getting into practice, whatever you're doing, like doing it well and giving it 100%, you know, I think that you just get used to doing that, which I think is a very positive trait for anything that you're, any endeavor, right, that you're pursuing in your life.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the real estate stuff. How the heck did you get into real estate? I know there's plenty of real estate in the Metro New York area, but how did you get into wanting to invest in real estate? Can you kind of take us through the beginning stages of that?
Sure. So I have always been, when I say this, I've always been interested in real estate. You know, sort of when I look back my entire adult life, right, I'm the type of person that goes and visits a friend in Houston. I'm on Trulia and Zillow and just, you know, looking up the, you know, different market dynamics and metrics and those type of things. And so I've always been very interested in that. You know, just sort of organically, that is something that I've always been interested in looking into, right? So I've sort of dabbled in it in different ways throughout the course of my adult life, right? So, and again, for you and for, you know, sort of everyone that I listen to that you have guests in your podcast, right? A lot of these people are, you know, there is a major sort of shift in mindset, right? to go from like, hey, this is a hobby of mine, right? To I'm going to turn this into a business, right? I'm going to approach this like a business. So, which I had never done that, right? So even like dabbling in it, I just never really got that serious about it or never made it a focus. So last fall, my sister-in-law turned me on to a couple of real estate podcasts she was listening to, like Bigger Pockets. I'm not sure if you heard of them, but Bigger Pockets and Wheelbarrow Profits. Anyway, so you know, that's one of the amazing things in listening to your podcast. There's so much great and motivating material out there, right? So I started listening to these podcasts that Cammie had told me about, and I just started really, you know, I started really just going deep, right? I mean, like really going down the rabbit hole on the different niches of real estate and what the different ones meant. So I could start comparing those, the experience of these people that were speaking to the experiences that I had. I quickly started recognizing a great, like what I was doing before was maybe fun, but like there are other niches in real estate that align themselves better with my long-term goals, right? And like the, you know, the hustle, the freedom mentality. I was sort of hearing those words through the story of many of these real estate professionals. So I started talking to her more about it again, was consuming a tremendous amount of content around these different strategies. Because again, right, you're only really successful at these things if you approach them like a business, right? So I isolated this multifamily real estate niche for myself because that is one that is really focused on cash flows. So I thought to myself, you know, again, which so many of the people on your podcast talk about, right? I mean, it's about cash flows. Like, you know, how can I get to myself to the point that if I'm unhappy in my W-2 job, that through this multifamily real estate side hustle, I know I can basically estimate on January 1st when I wake up, how much am I going to make this year from my you know, cash flows from my side hustle, right? So that was, I knew that is the direction I wanted to go. There are so many different valuable paths in real estate and so many niches that interested me. But I you know, I think I sort of took a step back and said, great, all these are awesome. I can't do all of them. What is one that fits well with my goals? So
Some of the other, you're talking about the niches in real estate. So to kind of break that down for somebody that's not familiar with the real estate kind of market and the different ways to invest in real estate, what are the big buckets? So we've got multifamily. Yeah. Can you like even break down like what is multifamily at a very basic level?
So for example, like flipping houses is a common term, right? That I think people know. So flipping houses, a lot of people, my sister-in-law does that as well. And that's the one who got me turned on to these podcasts. Is that she flips homes. A lot of people have very successful home flipping businesses. So that is a segment of the real estate market. Even within multifamily, there are different segments to that market. There's a lot of people, you know, for example, you know, if you think about, you said you live in Atlanta. Atlanta, I'm sure, has some, you know, shiny new apartment buildings in downtown Atlanta, right? Those are, you know, I'd say considered class A apartments. Those are probably for, you know, for upper middle class or upper class professionals, right? I'm not even focusing on that. I'm focusing on affordable housing, on workforce housing type of apartments. So which would be, you know, classified, let's say B and C class type apartments. And that was also, again, something that I wanted to pursue because I feel like that's a much more sustainable model. I mean, I live in Brooklyn. And, you know, so all these apartments around here, I all these are sort of class A apartments anywhere close to where I live. And it's, you know, it's dependent upon, you know, it's me, upper middle class and upper class incomes, which I don't want to be exposed to that. So, because as the market goes up or down, I want to be almost agnostic to any sort of, moves in the market direction. And these affordable housing or workforce housing, type of multifamily, that segment of multifamily has proven to be more resistant and more resilient in big market moves up or down.
Gotcha. Appreciate you breaking that down. So you're investing in pieces of property where you've got several families that could be buying, you know, places within this.
Yeah. So basically I'm now getting involved in all the entire sort of vertical of it. I'm partnering with, you know, property managers to manage the properties, These are all apartment buildings where people are renting units. So they're, you know, let's say between studios and two bedrooms, and they're all being, you know, rented out. So I'm partnering with other professionals in the space and, you know, property managers and real estate lawyers and, you know, accountants and these, you know, different people, which I think is a, you know, sort of a, at least for me, has been a major, you know, turning point mentally, is to recognize if I'm going to be successful in my side hustle, I need to find trusted partners in the other, you know, that, that basically help me like cover my blind spots. I'm not going to be, especially the fact that, I mean, I have a, you know, full-time job and, you know, I need to find other people that are, you know, like-minded that I can trust, that I can work with on the parts of the business that I'm, that I either cannot do or I'm not good at.
So when you decided to really, you were listening to Bigger Pockets and these other real estate podcasts, and you decided to like really dive into it, what were some of the first like really actionable things that you did? Was it still like a learning phase, or at this point was it like, okay, I've already got my foundation that I need as far as like knowledge goes, like, and now it's time to like pull the trigger on something?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I did it a lot on the education front, which is another thing. Like, I took the education piece very seriously. I spent a tremendous amount of time on my own, you know, listening to all the free content, you know, reading every single book I can get my hands on, reading every article, listening to all the podcasts. So I took, you know, again, a tremendous amount of time on the education front. I also got a mentor in the space. I mean, that's sort of the great thing about, you know, about pursuing a side hustle in 2019. You know, I found a mentor that I couldn't be happier with, that has been, you know, really pivotal in me closing the gap between just me being sort of like a student of the game and me being, you know, being in the game, right? So I got a mentor.
And what then made you get a mentor? Because I think in the beginning, this is something that a lot of people overlook. They, for whatever reason, they think they don't need it. Or I think probably more common is they don't realize that they need it. So like, how did you come to that realization that getting a mentor is going to, like you said, help you close that gap like so much faster and get the knowledge you needed?
So to be honest, I didn't think that I wasn't looking for a mentor. So I didn't even have the foresight to be like, you know what, I need a mentor. It happened to be that I was listening to Jake and Gino. That's the Wheelbarrow Profits is the podcast. I listened to their podcast and just, you know, sort of listening to their content, like just sort of getting to know at least their presentation of themselves, the podcast. I was like, you know, I love these guys. I love their messaging. I love sort of their story. I went on their website, and then I recognized they have a, you know, a mentorship program. So again, I was not looking for a mentor at all. I wasn't even considering it, but I reached out to them and then decided to do it. So I did not think that was a good idea. I had no idea. So I was, you know, it was serendipitously, I stumbled upon it. Now in hindsight that I've done it, I can't recommend it enough. That being said, is that I got very, very lucky. They have been phenomenal. The value that they've presented versus what I paid to be, you know, have them be my mentors, is like, you know, the value to me has been multiples more than what I paid them. So it's been a phenomenal experience. You know, that being said, like with anything in life, you know, you can have a good lawyer or a bad lawyer, a good doctor or a bad doctor, right? Like, you know, it's not, they are not all created equal. I'm sure. I mean, like I've only had one mentor. I got very, very lucky. I've had one mentor and they are phenomenal. So I would just say, if that's something you're pursuing, I've had a phenomenal experience. So I would recommend these guys to anybody, which I do. I mean, as far as a mentor in general, again, it is dependent on, it's case by case. I would say just do your due diligence, do the work as far as making sure you're doing the proper filtering before you start, you know, cutting checks to people.
Yeah. So you got these mentors and you really focused on the learning phase. What was the first like action where you were like, okay, in your case, I guess it's, you've identified a property, you've probably identified partners to go in on that property with. What did that first deal look like for you?
Yeah, so that's another thing, which I think this is sort of like, for me, almost like the most, you know, important thing. You know, I think the education piece, I think it's easy to say to people, hey, you know what, go read this book, educate yourself, spend a couple hours doing, you know, on a podcast or, you know, in like a training course, whatever it may be. I think that, again, I think that's easier for most people to wrap their head around. The action piece, which this is one that, again, same thing. Like, so basically what I did was I found a market that I was interested in. I started making calls to people and, you know, trying to get sort of more local market intel and sort of build rapport with local professionals. I eventually had someone basically bring me a deal, and I ended up, you know, sort of doing it. Within 24 hours, we were in contract on a duplex. Now, that duplex ended up being a good deal, but let's say that duplex ended up not being a good deal, or let's say that even I just broke even. What I, you know, going through the process, right, going through the action of closing a deal, and, you know, of course, I made a ton of mistakes in that, but it was so well worth it. When I walked away from that deal, right, or like at the completion of that deal, I had now basically built relationships with several people in the market. You know, I gained credibility with people in the market. I had found a, you know, property manager, several real estate brokers, a real estate lawyer, real estate accountant. So the, you know, what I gained from taking that first action step was the most valuable thing. So since then, and, you know, my mentor has, you know, talked about, they see this often, people, you know, taking the first step is obviously the scariest. Of course, like, you know, of course I made a ton of mistakes. I also think that, like, from a mindset perspective, you know, I think it's important to, like, lean into the mistakes. Like, you are going to make mistakes. That's the reality. Like, I'm not afraid to make mistakes. I understand it's part of the process. And as long as you're learning from them, that's a good thing, right? Because the only way you're not going to make mistakes is by not taking any action. And you just have to decide, I think, is that an acceptable outcome for you? You know, you can sit here and not make any mistakes. You will not go anywhere. You know, or you can basically jump in with both feet. And of course, I'm not advocating to take any irresponsible actions. But again, this real estate deal, if I could go back in time and say, you're going to break even or you're going to lose a little bit of money, I would 110% do that deal. Because what I learned from that, I mean, I learned, again, some things that you would never, it would never register unless you basically get splashed in the face with a bucket of cold water when you make some, you know, some boneheaded mistake, right? And then I'm so much better for it now.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, irregardless of what you're doing, whether it be real estate, starting a service business, starting some, you know, online business, it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to make mistakes in the beginning. Like, it's going to happen. There's no way around it, but you're going to learn so much from that process. Because like you said, like, you don't even realize that these mistakes are, like, a lot of them, you don't even realize they're possible to even make these mistakes because you didn't know, like, that this could go wrong or that you were even supposed to do that. You know, yeah. Like, this stuff just comes up as you're going through the process. But, like, if you get, like, so, I don't know, if you just get so, like, consumed around, like, what could go wrong, like, man, you're in for a rough ride with this whole, yeah, like, trying to start a business thing.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's what, like, but I think that's, like, sort of an important, you know, mindset thing, like, going into anything. You know, I still feel this way now. I'm going to make a ton of mistakes. You know, that's part of the process. Like, you know, I'm almost welcoming them because I know as I make mistakes, you know, again, as long as you're, you know, yes, you shouldn't want to make the same mistake 100 times over. But if you, you know, I feel like that you should welcome the mistakes, because if you are doing it the right way, you're making mistakes and you are taking stock of what you did and why, and then how you can improve upon that. Or those are, that should be a good part. Those are things that should be, you know, sort of welcomed.
Yep. So when you find these deals, so you found the duplex, your first one that you started out with, are you turning around and selling these? Are you, like, renting them out to families? And you know, as far as I understand it, I'm no real estate expert. So if you're renting it out, right, you know, we'll just say the loan you have on that property is $100,000. The rent you would make would be, you know, or let's, no, we shouldn't say that. Let's say your mortgage for the month is like $1,000, and then you're renting it out for $1,200 and you're cash flowing the $200.
Exactly. Exactly right. So that's the whole. So on this first one, on the duplex end, I sold it just to basically roll the proceeds into a larger deal. But yes, my long-term plan is to exactly as you said, buy multifamily apartments, you know, establish. A lot of these places are not run well and are and have, like, deferred maintenance and not been taken care of well. So my long-term goal is to accumulate apartment buildings, to create a great community for the tenants and just build a long-term reputation in the community for a caring and conscientious landlord or owner.
For sure. It sounds like a very good way to approach it. You're not like, how can I charge as much as humanly possible and like squeeze every dime out of these people? You're like, you know, this is their home. You want to create a great experience for them. You want them to live there. You want them to like you as the owner and landlord and tenant. I think it's very admirable. So like somebody that is getting into this, like we learned about like your first steps of listening to the podcast, getting a mentor. Like when you talk to people about real estate, because I'm sure you talk to a lot of people about it now because you're so deep into it. Like, where do you tell them is like the best place to start?
I would start with sort of educational. I'd say there's a couple of things. One is that, you know, it's the first thing is, you know, you can tell sort of almost everyone you have on your podcast, right? They've landed on something because they're passionate about it, right? So I love real estate, but you know, I don't try to commit. If someone has no interest in real estate, I think personally, it's a great path for me, right? It's a very, every journey is very personal. Firstly, I would say, are you interested in real estate, right? So if you are, that's awesome. I think it's an unbelievable path. So, you know, if you check that box and if you're sort of organically really interested in real estate, I would say there's, you know, tremendous amount of phenomenal content online. You know, just some of the podcasts I mentioned, you know, Bigger Pockets, their podcast, they have tons of books. Wheelbarrow Profits, same thing, podcast, you know, tons of books. Just even those two things alone, between all their books, their online content, and their podcast, you can educate yourself on all the different segments of real estate. You know, you can then pick one that I think best fits your, you know, your goals and your life, and right, because people do different stuff. I would do that. I mean, I personally recommend doing the mentor. But that being said, even without a mentor, I don't think a mentor is mandatory. Again, I would, because again, like, you know, mentors obviously do cost money and people have to allocate the resources accordingly. If the money component is very challenging at the beginning, I think really from you know, between Bigger Pockets and all their resources and Jake and Gina and all their resources, that you can really, you can set yourself down a path of being productive and having a high probability of success.
Yeah. So you were talking about, you know, if money is an issue and things like that. And I think that's probably the first thing that pops into people's head when they think about real estate is like, oh, I could never get into that because X, Y, and Z, and probably X, Y, and Z is mostly about money. So like what type of position does somebody need to be in your opinion, to kind of start to dive into this? And is there even a real financial barrier?
There definitely is not. Now, again, this is like, it's case by case. It's a personal journey. Like the path I'm taking is, you know, one where I am, you know, all the things I'm mentioning, I'm getting involved and learning all pieces of the process. I'm also investing my money, you know, alongside. You don't have to have any money. There's actually literally specifically, if you go to, you know, for any of the students or anyone listening to, you know, to like Bigger Pockets, they have a tremendous amount of content on ways to, you know, because again, that's another beautiful thing about real estate. Even within real estate, there are so many different paths to success, and a lot of them require no money, absolutely no money. So for those that are, you know, listening, that are, you know, concerned about, you know, I can't get, how can I possibly get into real estate? I don't have, you know, money to invest. That's not required whatsoever. There are tons of different things you can do within real estate to, you know, create value and create equity for yourself with no money. And again, I would encourage, again, there's literally Bigger Pockets has a book, I think it's called No or Low Money Down Investing. Either way, Bigger Pockets has a tremendous amount of content around getting involved in real estate different ways with no money.
There you go. Perfect place to find it. Yeah. I've listened to Bigger Pockets several times, you know, not really recently, but you know, the past few years, definitely got into them and heavy spurts over time. So I know exactly about the resources you're talking about. I'll link all that down in the show notes. So if anybody's interested, you can go directly over to those resources. I want to talk to you a little bit, Craig, about like managing your side hustle and your day job, because, you know, I'm sure, like you said, a lot of learning time went into, you know, gathering all this knowledge that so you could move forward. And now you're moving on deals. Like you sent over some of the info on some of the deals you've done. You did the duplex. You bought a 10 unit with a partner. You bought a 21 unit with a partner. You got a 22 unit under contract and 13% owner of a pretty big deal. So like, that's a lot going on. And I think all this was in within like a year, right?
Within 6 or 7 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that there's a lot of moving pieces there, and I'm sure working in the financial tech space, it's also a fast moving industry. I would guess, maybe I'm wrong, but can you tell us a little bit about like, how have you been able to manage both of these things? Do you have any, are there any habits? Are there any like routines that you go through? You've got a dog, two dogs, I think. You've got a wife or a girlfriend? Yeah. I can't remember.
Wife.
How have you managed it all?
Yeah. I mean, so I think that, you know, I'm still not great at it. I'm trying to improve. And I've been reading a lot of material on recently about productivity and whatnot. And you just had a podcast that I was listening to the other day, where you're talking about like controlling your inputs, right? So I think that is a very, very important thing. Is it like, you know, and again, it's everyone has different things, right? Like I read a lot, there's a lot of guys, people I think that have children. And so they end up getting up very early in the morning, so they have their time, you know, before the family wakes up, right? And that's where they're putting their extra time in their side hustle. For me, I often do it on the weekends and then at nights. Right. So that's when I'm putting the time, because I, you know, so my W-2 job is very important to me, and I'm very excited about the prospects. I'm not going to let my side hustle interfere with that whatsoever. So again, I spend my time at nights and on the weekends. But like you were saying, right, which I think is a very important thing, and I'm a huge like Gary Vee fan. Gary Vee says all the time, like, you know, like stop watching Netflix. You know, it's like, yeah, the content I was consuming, I mean, I commute to work on the subway to and from work, right? So it's like, I can listen to Spotify or I can listen to a podcast about multifamily investing. So how am I going to choose to spend that time, right? So I still have a lot of room to improve, but I've been making better decisions over the past 8 months because I've said to myself, listen, this is a priority. This is going to give me the financial freedom and, you know, long-term, which, you know, could be something, it could be a life altering thing for myself and my family. So that's a priority. I'm going to choose to focus on that. When there's a jump ball between, you know, watching football on a Sunday or giving this an extra couple hours, I have given this an extra couple hours. And I don't do it every single time. And of course, like I could always improve on controlling my inputs, but I've definitely gotten better at that. And I just sort of encourage people, like, you know, to be honest with yourself, look at your life, right? Look at your life, look at your job, look at whatever thing, if you have children, if you have a W-2 job, if you have, you know, kids sports you're a coach of, like whatever your priorities are in life, right? Recognize when those are and then carve out a time that, you know, fits with your life.
Yep, for sure. Couldn't have said it better myself. The episode he's referring to, it is called Control Your Inputs. By the time you listen to this, it's probably like 10 or 15 episodes ago. So you can find that. But the moral of the story is like, we all, of course, you've heard it 100 times. We all have the same amount of time in a day, right? So it's like, what are you doing with your quote unquote free time, whether you think you have it or not, to get you where you want to go? And a lot of that is just like about just being distracted with the noise that is out there in the world, right? So like, what are you doing on Instagram? What are you doing on Facebook? Like what?
Exactly.
Like,
so you mentioned that I meant to bring that up to you before the show, but like, I did it prior to listening to you, but I mean, I've deleted Instagram off my phone and I literally only have Facebook now because, cause I'm part of this real estate community on there. But you gave a hack in your podcast, you gave a hack for removing all this noise from your news feed. That's awesome stuff.
Yeah, I think it's super, super important. And it was a, like, not kidding, it seems super small, but it was a real game changer for me. Just like not being distracted, because you don't realize until it's gone, you don't realize how often you like get on there and just like waste time. Like it's just so subconscious nowadays, because you spent so many years on Facebook and so many years on Instagram. And every time you pick up your phone, you just like, I remember when I first deleted Facebook from my phone, it was like, I would pick it up and I would be like mindlessly, like it was kind of like my hand was working without me knowing. It was like looking for Facebook, like it's like scrolling around my phone. And I'm like, wait, what the hell am I doing? Like, I don't even have Facebook.
Toy. Well, that's the thing. Like, you don't realize how much time adds up when you're idle and you're just swiping Instagram versus like, you know, versus spending that time even if it's not like working toward your side hustle, that idle time, I mean, I'd rather like read a news source. I mean, that's making me smarter at least. Right. So,
that's super cool. Yeah, I think it's a big part of getting success and managing the time that we have. It's all about like choosing to invest your time in places that are going to always move you forward and get you to where you want to go. So, Craig, over the next year, like, what's your goal? So you've done a lot in, you know, the past year. So if we're looking 12 months ahead, we're sitting down talking, like, what's changed between now and then?
Really just to be to be larger. You know, I'm still at a, you know, very early stages. I'm still very new at this. I'm making a ton of mistakes. So I just want to keep pressing forward, which is a very sort of generic goal, but I would like to have 100 plus more units under my belt, right? So because I feel like that means that, you know, one, I'm pressing forward, two, I'm getting more confidence and getting more skill that I'm feeling confident enough to take on more, that I'm learning other parts of the business well, like property management plays a key role in the success of being involved in multifamily real estate, understanding their business more, right? One, understanding the traditional framework of that business, as well as, you know, getting comfortable enough to, you know, potentially suggest new ways of doing that, right? Like, you know, really, really getting more intimately involved in that process, because that is really the sort of the customer service aspect of this business, which I feel passionate about that, and most of my favorite books are around that topic. And so I'd love to get, you know, again, to be more involved in that part of the business, you know, which is going to require me to, you know, to dig in and to learn a lot more and to spend more time, you know, conversing with my property managers and understanding their process and what people's reactions are and all these things.
Cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing where things go from here for you. Are you documenting anything online about your journey? Do you have a website, anything like that, where you kind of people could keep up with you?
I don't. I don't, unfortunately. So maybe at some point down the road, maybe I know you're obviously, you have all the guides to starting podcasts. So maybe that will be my future down the road. Right now I'm just, sort of keeping track of it, you know, personally.
Yeah, keeping your head down and making deals.
Yeah, trying to.
That's awesome, dude. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on and kind of sharing your journey. And I think it's cool. I love, you know, what I'm doing here with the podcast, because I get to bring people like you on that are, you know, still they're like, what you're doing is so much more relatable than talking to somebody that's kind of been doing it for 15 years and, you know, they're, you know, making $10 million a year and they can't relate back to somebody that still has a day job, but you're still going through the motions. You've still got the day job. You're building this up on the side. You understand the challenges that people go through managing their time and stuff like that. So I really enjoy getting to chat with people like you, Craig. So thanks so much for coming on the podcast, man.
Thank you for having me. And my, feel free to put my email address in the show notes if you'd like.
Yep.
If anyone has any questions or wants to reach out to me, regarding, you know, multifamily real estate or my experience or any way that I can help, I'd be happy to.
Yep. What's your email? If you want to say it here, that way people can just pick it up if they don't hit the show notes.
Sure. It's lunchpailcapital@gmail.com. LUNCHPAIL capital, CAPITAL@gmail.com. lunchpailcapital@gmail.com.
Awesome. So I'll link that down in the show notes, lunchbellcapital@gmail.com, guys. If you have any questions about multifamily real estate, don't reach out to me because I don't know crap about it. Reach out to Craig. He'll help you out. And thanks again, Craig. And we'll talk soon, man.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So, if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.